Harry and Tommy are about to pick up your arvo with stacks of fun. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas at Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to Monday. How are we, guys?
I've been thinking about you all weekend.
Have you?
Yep. I was so wanting to text you, but I was like, just wait till 3 p.m. Monday, Carrie, like the rest of the nation.
It's been hard not telling anyone. I mean, I've told a couple of people.
Have you? Who have you told?
Yeah, just family. Just family.
You haven't. You've told everybody but us, haven't you?
No.
No?
No, some of you have asked me as well.
You've told some of the team.
No. But some have asked. Anyway.
If you're listening and you're like, what are they talking about? Tommy resat his pilot's written exam, the one he failed last week, got a second chance.
Yes.
And this second chance is all he gets. And if he doesn't get this, he's got to wait months before you can sit again. This is to decide the destiny of your summer, really,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. You'll find out how I went next.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Monday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because I had my third chance at my pilot's test on Saturday because first time I failed.
Yeah.
I got 66%. The
pass is 70.
Pass is 70. The second time I got the day wrong. And then
imagine you're the pilot and you rock up the wrong plane at the wrong time.
Oh, mate.
It's all crucial details that you need to be across.
I reckon you would have missed some flights in your time as well, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. About as many as I've caught.
God. Okay, so third time lucky.
So you won't believe what happened. It was the most stressful start to a day I think I've ever had in my life, because it said 45 minutes away on the maps to get to the airport, and I left an hour and a half.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
on you.
There was roadworks just everywhere.
Does it not take that into account on your Google Maps?
It took me an hour and 28 minutes. I got there.
Oh, my God. What happens if you were late? You wouldn't be allowed
in. They shut the door.
Right.
And I'm watching my time on my Google Maps just go backwards.
How stressful.
It started arriving at 8:30 and then it was just going 8:35, 8:37. It was like, it literally said 9:01 and when I was like a couple of minutes away and I then ended up, I put the address in slightly wrong. But anyway, it was just next door.
Los
Angeles Airport. Oh, San Francisco. Same, but you know.
They all talk funny. You get it. And then I pulled up and I'm literally sweating because all I'm thinking is, what do I say if I miss the exam?
I
thought about never coming to work again. I thought about maybe moving overseas.
By the sounds of your time, you wouldn't make it in time anyway, you know. You'd make this big declaration that you were moving. Then you go, guys, actually, I'm here. It's still here.
I missed the flight. I'm sorry. So sorry. I thought I was moving overseas yesterday. And so then I get there and I'm flustered. I run into the classroom. I'm sweating. And I've got my books. And the lady said,
Wendy there again?
No, it wasn't Wendy. It was this lovely lady named Angela. And she was so lovely. And I said, oh, sorry, I'm really stressed. I nearly missed it. And she said, Tommy, you've made it. Just relax and sit down. Take your time. We're going to get started in a few minutes. And so I sit down. And then she comes over and she says, where are all your books? And I said, what? And she said, where are all your books? And I said, these are my two books. And she said, no, Tommy, where is all the other stuff? And I said, what do you mean all the other stuff? And she said, because you know the list, you can bring all those other things like your CAO and your AIP. And I said, yeah, but I didn't think I needed that. And she goes, have a look around. And I look and at all the other desks,
mate.
They've got these reference books piled up. Right? And I said,
you just know it all off by heart?
She said, oh, this was how nice she was. She said, oh, darling, is this all you brought to your exam last week? And I said, yeah. And she said, no wonder you failed.
Which means if you failed without books, imagine what you could do with books.
She said, do you even have a PCA? And by this stage, the whole class is listening, right? And I said, Ange, what's a PCA? And the whole class goes, ha, 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 ha. And 15 point. I know. And as I'm saying this,
Eli's got the champagne ready. But he's ready to open it. He's feeling very presumptuous.
I mean, he knows I'll drink it anyway.
She said, what did she do?
I think I have a spare PCA.
Oh,
and then she walked
in
and looked at her desk. It's a map of Australia. It's a chart. And then, I'm running off memory here. There's a big rock in the middle. There's a reef up that end. Come on. There's a river on the other side. And she got to her desk and she said, oh, sorry, Tommy, I'm so sorry. I don't have another spare chart. And one, this lovely man, who if you're listening, I would love to say thanks to you. He went, Tommy, I've got a spare one, and gave me his. And because he then finished the exam before me, you all sit in silence and you walk out. So I never got to actually thank him.
Oh, he was organised enough to bring two and you didn't bring any.
Yes.
What about the rest of your books? Did you just go without?
I just went without. And then the questions started and I didn't have no questions from last time. Like nothing
the same.
Well,
you got told they wouldn't be the same.
Yes. People started filing out.
And you were still there.
I was still there. I get to the end.
The bit where you've got to say go on your computer and get the result.
Takes me just over 2.5 hours. And I hit the button and my result pops up and it says 66%. And I was like, you've got to be joking. The exact same result.
Oh, mate. And then you didn't bring your books though.
And then I looked and it said attempt one, 66%. And it was my old result. Attempt two, 74%. Yeah!
Awesome.
So we're done. Oh. Never have to do it again. I mean, sorry, I will keep studying, obviously, but I don't have to do the exam again.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we're still sitting in silence because there's still one person finishing the exam when I walked out and she just had her mask on. She just gave me a little thumbs up.
Oh, where's the first place we're going? Well, you're going because I'm never flying with you. Where's the first place you're going?
Well, here's the thing. I need a plane. 13-10-60.
What? Will you borrow?
Yeah. Just over summer. 13-10-60.
Like you rent?
Yeah, yep. We'll bargain on air. 13-10-60, do you have a plane or know of someone who has a plane?
There's a lot of people with planes, mate.
Plane owners. Give us a call.
Is that our audience?
Good relatable content. Do you have a plane? The bigger the better.
13-10-60 Give us a call. Is the number.
Commercial airlines excluded.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy for your Monday Arvo, and on 13-10-60, have you got a plane Tommy can borrow?
Yes, I passed my theory part of my licence from my PPL. He knows how to fly. He's got his wings. Only failed once. G'day, Julie.
Should we just point out, phones have gone off.
Yes.
Three people have called in of this entire nation. Yeah. Three people have a plane.
Yes. G'day, Jules.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, so good. Do you have a plane that I can borrow?
I don't have a plane, but I have an amazing friend, Nick, who has a flying school in Swan Hill, and he has heaps of planes.
Oh my gosh.
So I met him at Tyab Airfield.
Yes.
And so you should come down here to the Mornington Peninsula because Tyab Airfield also has a flying school. It's amazing.
Okay. Great.
So there's planes everywhere.
Jules, just get me across, like, how much does it cost to rent a plane?
Well, I don't know. I've had lots of different, because I've got a few friends who are pilots and I've had a lot of different costs floated around. So I think it's per hour, isn't it, largely?
Right.
And I've actually, funny story, I've tried calling you guys before.
Yeah.
Because you had a story where you ran away from someone. And I tried calling this as you went on a run with someone and they ran away from you or something mid-run.
Okay.
And that was do you remember?
Yes.
It was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
About the time where Carrie and I both had babies in 2018, I think. And it was,
yeah.
So now you can fly away from people, not just run away from them.
You're the best. Good on you, Jules. Thank you.
Oh, we've got Julie's friend Nick, who has the flying school in Swan Hill on the line. Nick, hey.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. Are you going to lend Tommy a plane?
Absolutely. What does he want?
What have you got, Nick? And you might be able to tell me, what am I going to be allowed to fly?
So you're a CPL, is that right?
PPL.
Oh, PPL. Okay, so you've got a private license, so you're allowed to fly anything up to about 5,700 kilos. So that's a big plane.
Okay.
So you can fly anything up to a 10-seater.
Awesome.
Can you have 10 people in it, or you're not allowed to fly with people yet?
No, you are. No, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
You could fly 10 people around?
Yeah.
They should not be doing. How are you allowed?
Why do you think more people makes it more dangerous?
I just feel like it's a lot of people to lose, you know?
Nick, what type of costs are involved with a 10-seater?
A 10-seater probably be about, it's quite pricey because they're going to have two engines. So you're looking at probably about $600 an hour.
What about if we go with a smaller one?
We go a bit smaller. So I've got a little Jabiru J160, which is an Australian-built aeroplane. Mm-hmm. And that's about $130 an hour, including fuel.
What if he wants to take it away for, like, you know, 6 weeks around Australia or something? Can you do him a deal?
Absolutely. But the other thing is hiring an aeroplane is you don't take it by the day. You take it by the flying hour. So you only pay for what you use.
Nick, this is great.
Yeah. You could take it for the whole summer, do 10 hours, and then that's all you pay for.
Oh, my God, you're going to go party with your friends all around Australia. This is epic.
It's a great way to hire a venue for a party, isn't it? Because you can just have it on the ground, but then have it in the... Have
your party. I mean, that's weird. Yes.
Have a hangar party.
Nick?
So how much is that compared to what does it cost to own a plane?
I'm an aircraft broker as well, so I sell aeroplanes, so I'm well-placed to answer that one.
So if he works a bit harder, this little boy over here, he might be able to pay for one day, Nick. Is that right?
Well, I just bought something to someone for about $30,000. So anywhere from there up to how long is a piece of string?
Nick, that doesn't seem like enough money.
It doesn't really, does it? But actually, a small two-seater could be $25,000-$30,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I realize.
This is the stuff of dreams.
Yeah, you absolutely are, Nick. We've got your details, and I realize I've involved a lot of your time and when really we should be making our radio show, and I've just used it for a personal meeting.
Nick, does he charge you by the hour as well, or just the plane?
Nick, do you charge by the hour?
Invoice is in the mail, guys, already.
Thanks, Nick.
What about Manuel? Manuel, are you ready to help Tommy too?
Well, not really. I have a Piper Arrow, but I own it with three other people, so I don't think we can hire it to you. But if you become a member of an aero club, you can just hire a plane, and it'll cost you $250 to $350 an hour.
Manuel, your voice is just gorgeous. I didn't listen to much you said because I was so entranced by the accent.
I think you should put an accent on when you're flying, you know?
Yes, it's gorgeous. Manuel, where are you, Spanish?
No, I'm from Colombia.
Oh, beautiful part of the world.
I've been living in Canberra for 18 years.
Well, that's a real change up of pace, isn't it? Manuel.
But I do have a plane.
This is great. And so my advice from you is to join an aero club. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, good man.
Well,
thank you.
If you come to Canberra, let us know and we'll take you out.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you, Manuel.
These are your people, mate.
It's the best.
Isn't it amazing? Should we go to Lorraine?
Yes.
Lorraine, how can you help Tommy? Can you give him a plane?
Oh, I can help Tommy, yeah. First of all, Tommy, congratulations. That's a huge achievement.
Oh, thanks, Lorraine.
What sort of aircraft did you do your training in?
In a CT-4.
Ooh, okay.
Is that good or bad, Lorraine?
No, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah. Okay. We've got twin-engine aircraft that we hire out. But you wouldn't be quite ready for a twin engine, would you?
Nah, I don't think I would.
So that's your next thing, Tommy. That's your next thing. Do all your endorsements on your twins and then your IFR, and before you know it, you'll spend another $30,000.
Great. Thanks for the reassuring words, Lorraine.
I'm going to really miss
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Right around Australia for your Monday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Soak me in, guys. Soak me in.
How do I do that? Are we smelling? What
enjoy
are we doing?
Enjoy all things Bickmore.
Okay, hang on. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
Because I almost didn't make it here today.
What do you mean?
I almost died on the way to work.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. What happened?
Oh, I can't tell you now. It's a tease. I'll tell you next.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. What happened
also,
next?
Also, sniff my new cream that I've got there.
What's it called?
Special bum bum cream.
Okay.
It's called. No, it's actually what it's called, the bum cream.
What you use for your hemorrhoids, mate.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home this Monday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Driving along the freeway to work this morning, and I was lost in the tunes, you know, listening to some radio, singing to myself, free of children with a coffee in hand.
Oh.
Feeling carefree and happy to be coming in to see all of you lovely
Great.
People. And I looked above me as I was going along the freeway. There was an overpass and there was a whole lot of people standing on top of the overpass. And there was a whole lot of signs hung along the overpass about climate action and save the planet and blah, blah, blah. And I looked up and as I looked up,
yes,
I obviously was looking up, not down, straight ahead at the road. But I knew there wasn't a car anywhere near me before I looked up. I checked that there wasn't a car in sight.
Yeah. I've seen how you drive. There's no way you checked. But
I did. It did. Anyway, when I looked back down.
Yeah, when you looked back
when
down.
When I looked back down.
After looking there initially.
I went, swerved off the side of the road and nearly hit another car.
Yes. What did you swerve?
To miss a full enormous ladder that was in the middle of the freeway on the ground. My car.
Standing up.
Not standing up. Would have been funny if it was standing up. It was flat because I didn't see it. If I'd gone over this ladder, my car would be absolutely total, I reckon. It was quite a chunky ladder. Not that they're ever slim line.
Was it a step ladder?
One of those sexy slim ladders.
No, one of those chunky silver ones.
All right. COVID's been tough for all of us. Way off the ladders, mate.
And I swerved it just into, I just missed it. Mm. And then I was very flustered afterwards because I also just missed a car. And then I felt very overwhelmed about the whole thing. Mm. And I kept driving. And then I had this sudden thought. And I thought, how did the ladder get there?
Of course, where are the snakes?
And it was right directly under the overpass.
Yeah. Oh, so someone's tried to climb up to the overpass.
No. Oh. I think someone's used the ladder up the top to try and somehow put up their signs and then the ladder's fallen down from the overpass. What happened if that ladder had fallen down while I was driving underneath it?
Oh, it'll take one car off the road, be better for the environment. Climate activists get their way.
Either that
yes.
or it's fallen off the back of a ute.
I think that's more likely what's
Do
happened.
Do you think?
Yes.
But then why hadn't someone taken it off the road?
Because they're just driving along. They've got music blaring. Then they get to their job and they go, where's our ladder? Where's our ladder gone?
Isn't your ladder strapped in? Your ladder's not floating. It's not like a big piece of furniture that could bounce off the back, can it?
I mean, I reckon that has, yeah.
Well, I thought it had come from the overpass.
But because this is scary, because this is almost.
I almost.
I know, but sorry, it's more scary now.
Why?
Because you know, have you seen Final Destination?
No.
So Final Destination is a horror film, right? And it's these people, they avoid their death, but death then comes for them. And because you've avoided your death this morning, I'm really sorry, but death's going to come for you.
What?
Death is going to come for
you. In what form?
We don't know, but just be aware.
What, so I just walk around waiting for ladders to fall on me?
No, I don't think
it comes
in a different form. And often you trying to avoid it is the thing that makes it get you. So don't try and avoid death.
So how do you know that was the thing that was trying to kill me and now I'm in the Final Destination movie?
Because it nearly killed you. That were your words.
I mean, it was a stretch.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if I actually nearly killed me.
You're getting scared now that you're in a Final Destination.
I don't want to die.
But we've already got music for you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Destination unknown. Is that where that song comes from?
No.
This is a fun way to die. Does this play in the background?
You're going to die. You're going to die. You're
this would be me dying in the club. Me doing my tart drop and then not being able to get back up again.
Yes, it'd be something like that. You'd slip and then death had come for you.
How long have I got to wait?
13:10:60.
What are you asking people for?
I was going to ask them if they believe in Final Destination.
And watch the movie. What's he doing?
What were we going to do? I feel like I've gone off piste and I'm not comfortable.
Asking people if I'm going to die and you're feeling uncomfortable about that. I wonder why.
Sonda, get me back on screen.
We've had a lot of rock bottom, but you singing your go-to die to Final Destination is right
so happy
down there.
Too.
I was not happy.
Why are people calling? I mean, lots of people are calling.
just call with whatever you want to talk about.
Why don't we see how you'll die?
So
no to look out for it.
How to avoid it.
Have you been hit by a ladder from an overpass?
No. This is all too grim. How do we save Carrie's life?
Great.
Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie and Tommy.
The Monday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and right now we're doing this.
Destination unknown, known, 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 unknown.
This music's way too uplifting for conversation around my desk.
Yes, but now we've worked out because you almost had a ladder on the freeway
today, and I had to swerve to miss it, and I thought it had dropped from the overpass above.
Yeah,
we think perhaps it just fell off.
We actually have a remix of some music that might be more appropriate.
Oh, okay.
Again, too happy. And you've decided that this is like Final Destination, the movie that I haven't seen.
Where if you avoid death.
And now I'm trying to avoid death, and so I'm going to die.
Yes, but we've all banded together, and because the world knows we need Carrie in the world, and so we're all going to try and save you.
Are we?
Yes.
Linnell, are you going to try and save me?
I'd love to save you, Carrie.
Oh, same, thanks, Linnell.
The world needs Carrie.
I agree.
But I just would say, having a ladder coming towards you off a vehicle is certainly a very scary thing. It happened to me at the beginning of the year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and a big metal ladder on the roof of a tradesman van. And as he came off the bridge, I could see the ladder coming off the vehicle and towards me. And there was nowhere I could go. I actually had to run over it.
Oh.
What
did it do to the car?
It scared. It pulled a big piece that covers the underneath of my car off. I don't know how it didn't ruin my tyres and my wheels. I only drive a little Mazda 3. But just watching it coming towards you and knowing that there was nothing that you can do to avoid it is certainly a scary thing.
Terrifying. But back to the original question, Linnell. Sorry, how are you going to save me? Because I don't feel like you've given me your answer, Linnell.
How could I save you? I don't know, Carrie. Avoid driving, I guess, because these things happen, don't they?
But Linnell, maybe you're a good case study because obviously that was your near-death experience. Has death come for you in other ways?
No, it hasn't. I've actually been alive and very well this last 12
See,
months.
This is rubbish that you're talking about, this Final Destination BS.
Hey, I hope so. But
I hope so for you too, because otherwise it's all going to be a bit awkward if something happens.
Hey, I know.
They're going to replay this audio and you are going to look like an...
I know. You're going to...
and I will be rolling around chuckling to myself. I mean, I probably won't.
I'm like, are you that competitive that the one win
Even
would
when
be
I'm
worth?
Dead, I'll be I won.
Got him. G'day, Janet.
Hi.
Are you going to help us save Carrie?
Yes.
What should we do?
Well, she needs to avoid driving.
Mm-hmm.
So no more driving under that bridge.
Yep.
Or anywhere near that road anymore.
Okay.
And maybe Tommy could fly you to work.
Oh, there we go. Janet, that's just good asking to die, Janet.
No. He could carry you.
That's good. I could carry you and fly you.
Janet's got way too much faith in you.
Carry you all the way to work and you'll be
there. You go. I could put you in a baby Bjorn.
You've always, we did that, didn't we?
That's how I
didn't
want to
we
get
do
around.
Something like that?
Yeah, you put me in a backpack.
That's right. Oh, gosh, we're fun. Rob's caught up saying I should have stopped and picked up the ladder. I mean, what? I walked into the middle of the freeway. It's not my ladder. I'm not picking it up.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were trying to save my life, not Anton. Luke, what's your suggestion? How are you saving my life?
Don't get in the plane with Tommy.
Yeah, there you
go. Do not get in the plane with Tommy.
Thank you, Luke. I've been saying that a lot. No one seems to agree with me except for you. Why do you think that, Luke?
It takes him 2 times to pass his test. If you know what you're doing, pass the first time, buddy.
Luke, it was technically 3 times because there was another time when I didn't know what day it was on. So.
And who rocks up without books?
Yeah. I know. Yep. But Luke, the good news is while Carrie's still here, I don't have to achieve anything and I can just hold on to her success and we're all going to be fine. All right, Luke?
Yes. As long as we're with Carrie, we're fine.
Thank you, Luke.
Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, it is. And the very funny Nath Valvo is joining us soon.
Still to come, there's something that's gone down in a pub in the UK that would be my hell and your heaven.
Oh,
it's fascinating. I would not cope if this happened
really?
To me.
But I would love it.
You would absolutely love it. In fact, this is a standard weekend for you.
I'm staying tuned.
Yes.
Great.
We're going to discuss that next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Whitney Houston and Clean Bandit. That is How Will I Know. It's Carrie and Tommy for your Monday, Arvo.
So, I want to take you to Yorkshire Dales.
Oh, take us there honorarily.
In the UK.
The Barmy Army.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. No,
don't
no.
Don't know if that's anywhere near the Yorkshire Dales.
Yeah.
It sounded a bit ochre, didn't it? I've got to get into the hold on, get
you
into the
top, don't you say top of the morning?
No, at the end of the day, we're in the Yorkshire Dales.
Okay, where are we at the start
customers
of the day?
Are facing a third night trapped in the UK's highest pub due to heavy snowfall during Storm Arwen.
What happened, Governor?
So around 60 pubgoers became stranded at the Tan Hill Inn in the Yorkshire Dales after going to watch an Oasis tribute band on Friday
night. Did they have a funny name? What were they called?
Noasis. So a whole lot of people went into this pub, right, on Friday night, and then it's so high up that then it snowed, and the snow, you see there's a picture of it, and it completely covered, trapped them in the front door.
Show us the picture.
So they could not, I didn't happen to print the picture.
Okay.
I've seen it though.
Yeah.
It's a good pic.
Yeah, great.
just imagine a door with snow in front of it. Because it had fully covered it. And they went, sorry guys, we can't get you out. 9 feet of snow fell.
So they were staying at the pub?
So they, well, some of them, there was rooms upstairs, so some of them can duck up to stay in the rooms. But most of them had just come to see Noasis and were going to head home.
Really?
But 3 days later, they're still in there watching Noasis because they can't get out. So some of them had to sleep on the floor. Ooh, floor of a pub.
Yeah, but floor of a pub where Noasis has been playing as well.
They've been
bodily fluids.
Playing pub quiz, like trivia. They've watched movies.
Well, they're doing
they
pub
watched
everything because
yes, they
they're
do,
in a pub.
Yes, they, they watched
pub meals.
What did they watch, Eli? You were telling me in the movie.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Did they?
Yeah. They. What was the other one?
Grease.
They watched.
These
they've,
people have shocking taste.
Had free buffet.
Yeah.
They've been doing karaoke.
A free buffet.
I mean, you'd hope they weren't being charged for all their meals inside the pub that they were trapped
in. But I guess it costs them money still.
To run it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you've trapped everyone in your pub, you've got to give them a free pint and a meal, surely.
Imagine that, holding out on them. What a boss move. Well, you can try your luck out in the snowstorm if you don't want to pay for the parma,
mate.
So they
came in as strangers and now they've become great mates and they're all hanging out together. They're on Facebook.
Give it two more. They're on Facebook.
They're sleeping under blankets in the lounge area together, huddled together.
Give it two more
days. I wonder
if
there's going to be a pub baby out of this.
Ooh, an Oasis baby.
At the Yorkshire Dales. But imagine that. So I feel like when it comes to Noasis, not that I've seen them, so I don't want to judge them, but I feel like, are you going to the pub to see Noasis?
Nope.
Or are you going to the pub on a Friday night and Noasis happened to be playing?
That one.
Yeah.
And you're annoyed that they
and
are.
And now you've had to listen to Noasis
they've
for 3 days.
They've not only ruined your Friday night, they've ruined your whole weekend.
Do they only play Oasis songs? Noasis?
Who? Noasis.
No, but surely they have to branch out.
And what do they say when they say, this isn't one of ours now, we're playing a cover? Is that what they say?
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a tribute band.
I never have, but I'm fascinated by
like
that
there'd
world.
Be a Mamma Mia tribute. There'd be tribute
there's
bands
heaps.
For all
there's,
of them.
I know there's one called Kissdroyer that's quite big.
Oh, right.
There's heaps. There'd be Led Zeppelin, like heaps of ones of bands that aren't around anymore.
Yeah, Beatles ones?
Yeah, of course. Give us a call.
Oh, I have seen an Elvis tribute artist.
It wasn't the real Elvis.
Well, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Did you get
is that one of the ones we don't know if he's gone or not?
No, no, he's dead. Did you get Fat Elvis?
I'm sure I've heard.
Did you get Fat Elvis or Skinny Elvis? Which one?
No, Fat Elvis.
Yeah.
He had a gut on him.
My favourite.
Yeah. He was good though.
Yeah.
Could have fooled me.
30.
He didn't, but he could have.
How could he have?
If I was a believer, you know.
In the undead. 13, we are exhausted, aren't we? 13 10 60. Give us a call if you've ever been in a cover band.
Oh.
We want to hear about them and we'd love to hear you sing.
Oh my God,
your
this is awesome.
Yeah, great.
We got to guess what your cover band is.
That's better.
Barry and Tommy, driving you home for your Monday afternoon.
So, there's a group of people who are currently trapped in a pub in Yorkshire Dales in the UK. They rocked up Friday night to this pub to have a beer and watch Noasis, an Oasis tribute band.
Sure, you go with Showasis first.
No, you don't. Noasis, apparently, according to this tribute band, because they're not Oasis, so they're
Noasis. Noasis, okay.
And anyway, the snow fell and the pub got snowed in, and 3 days later they are still watching Noasis in the pub.
pub. Yeah.
Plus playing trivia, doing some karaoke. Yes. What then does Noasis sing for karaoke?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's tricky when you're saying you're Oasis.
I don't know how Noasis could get more annoying until you brought up karaoke.
So we've asked on 131060, are you in a tribute band? Yes. Can you sing us some of your tribute band songs and we'll guess what band you are?
Which chord do you want to go to?
The only one we have.
Okay. Interesting choice, Gary.
Shanae, are you in a tribute band?
My son is, yes.
Oh, talk to us. What tribute band is your son in?
The Wiggles.
Oh, how old's your son?
He's 4.
Wow.
That's funny.
And they're in a cover band. That's so
Which
cool.
Wiggle is he, Shanae?
Well, now he's saying Spider-Man Wiggle.
Okay.
Love a cover band that they don't quite get their parts right. You
well,
know?
It's just a lot of different covers of different things at the same time.
Do you want to hear him sing?
We'd love that, Shanae. I mean, you're our only caller, Shanae, so you're stuck with us for a few minutes here.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I'll make sure he's ready. Ready, darling? Go. Sing your song.
Is that mashed potato?
I think it
mashed
is, yeah.
Mashed potato.
Don't
mashed potato. Oh, hot potato. Oh,
well, he's a cover band.
He's a tribute band. Yeah. Yeah.
But imagine it for 3 days.
Oops, is it hot potato?
Oh, hot potato. That was good.
Oh, whoops.
What happened? Did a swear word let fly? I missed it, Shanae.
Hot potato.
I reckon on behalf of...
Okay, Erin's called.
Oh, no.
Erin's called. Can we get Erin across? She was
anyone.
A performer with a cover band. Please, Erin, help us out.
Hello.
Hi, Erin. Are you in a cover band?
I was a backup dancer for an Elvis cover.
I don't even understand the words. Erin, you were a backup dancer. There was an Elvis impersonator that was that successful, he had backup dancers.
Yeah, so there was 2 of us and we toured around like all of Victoria, New South Wales, and we performed with him.
Wow.
So it was pretty big.
Can you give us can you give us your best Elvis impersonation?
Your best mashed potato.
Well, package this one up, guys, and send it to the folks at the Australian Commercial Radio Awards because that is a shoo-in.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy, if you drive home this afternoon, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas at Chemist Warehouse.
Yes.
Question. So, yes. I want to get Ollie.
About me. Got an undine and I got an undine. Question. Sorry.
Independent Woman, part 1 or 2?
1?
I have a question.
I didn't even know there was parts. Yes.
If I'm going to buy Ollie, if I'm buying a teenager a fragrance for Christmas, what am I getting him from Chemist Warehouse?
Young people love Brute.
Do they?
No, I don't think so.
Don't stitch him up.
Old Spice.
What? What are we going with?
What about Polo, Ralph Lauren?
Is that too sophisticated or not?
What do you mean? You can be a sophisticated teen or
can
is that
you?
An oxymoron?
I think that might be an oxymoron. I mean, it's got to be a step up from his links anyway, you know?
Yeah, well, you can have both, can't you?
I could almost do a links test and I could tell you, sniff a guy and know whether which links he's wearing, Africa or, you can't remember the other ones.
Sniff deodorant, you don't have to sniff a person.
Yeah, it's a creepier way to go about it.
It mixes with the teenage sweat, No, sorry, that sounds weird. I mean,
that's
I remember as a teenage girl.
Links Africa, it mixes with the teenage sweat.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Monday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Live comedy is back. Woo! I mean, some places in the country it never left, but for the whole country, it is back. And to talk more about it, the great Nate Valvo. G'day, Nate.
Tommy and Carrie, comedy is back.
Comedy is back. Now, I was going to say you are hosting something, but it looks like from the sheet in front of me you are hosting about 10 things in different parts of the country. Is that true?
Is it? I'm only here to talk about one thing, which is the Just for Laughs one. Is that the one we're talking about?
Yep. I've got Just for Laughs at the Malt House. I've got Just for Laughs Sydney.
Well, you know what we've done? We stole it from Sydney. Does that make it better for Melbourne to come to the taping?
Oh, it certainly makes it less national, which really, really makes my intro of comedy is back all around the country pretty much.
So is this the thing, Nate, that you and Tommy are both going to be live at? People can come and watch live comedy with some of the other great comedians around this country. Is that right?
Oh, Carrie, you're so much better at your job than Tommy. Mm. Yes, that's the one. Can I grab that and just repeat that whenever I speak to other people? Do you know what? Tommy Little has actually hosted this show a number of times, and it's been passed on, Tommy. Now, I just have a tiny bone to pick with you. You know, I have huge respect for you, Tommy Little. Mm. I thought, yeah, I just refresh my memory of the show. So I went and watched a couple of the older episodes.
Yes.
And I've got to say, Tommy, you're hosting in a black T-shirt and jeans.
Mm.
Come on, man.
Well, I mean, but also
uniform. I've never seen him not wear that, Nate.
But also, we were at the Sydney Opera House, and now it's at the Malt House in Melbourne. So, Nate, you could turn up in a hessian sack there, and you'd be fine. That was my showbiz finest.
You wore a black T-shirt and jeans at the Opera House.
Yes, definitely.
That's almost like disrespectful.
No, you just got to not let the venue know you're intimidated by them.
Yes, I can imagine the looks you received. Did people ask you often? Have you got to change your clothes?
No. Have you seen how comedians dress? It was a fresh black T-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you have good style.
Well, excuse me.
Have you seen how straight comedians dress?
The thing is, when you do these gigs with straight men, you can't tell who's like the backstage crew and who the comics are because everyone's in black. Yeah. I don't know who's who.
What's your go-to outfit, Nave? You'd like a jacket, wouldn't you?
Yeah, thank you. But I'll tell you what I've done. This is the difference between a gay host and a straight host. When they asked me to host it, the first thing I asked was, true, what is the budget for the clothes? Because after watching Tommy, I was like, is there one? And there is. So I'm going to probably go with a good suit pant. And you're right, a little jacket and some kicks, you know?
What? So question for you, Tommy, when you always wear your black T-shirts.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you make the stylist go and purchase a fresh black T-shirt each time? Like, is that their big styling opportunity? Or do you just keep supplying your own black T-shirt?
I don't want to ruin the showbiz illusion, but yes, I supply my own black T-shirts.
Do you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so down to earth like that.
Mm. I mean, he's not. He's such high maintenance.
And then the drinks rider really makes up for the...
Do what else is I've noticed that the other big difference between a straight male comedian and a gay male comedian is straight male comedians eat food up until like 30 seconds before they go on stage. Like you'll be at the pub with Tommy Little and Dil Rook and all these other guys and Nick Cody and they're eating a steak and they're going on. They're going on stage in 30 seconds.
Oh, like, how gross.
Thank you. I haven't eaten since 2 p.m. like a professional.
But don't you just have it sitting in your guts while you're performing?
I mean, you've got everything in your guts. I once saw a guy eat a cheeseburger while he was doing his show. He did like 10 minutes on stage and then he went, oh, like he'd forgotten something. And you know, the front pocket of your hoodie?
Stop it.
Not a word of why. He goes, oh, and pulls out a cheeseburger. It was one of the funniest things I've seen. And he didn't even mention it. He just started eating his cheeseburger.
Was that part of his gear or he'd actually forgotten lunch?
No, he was just... Yeah.
What's your go-to drink choice, Nate, for just off onto the side? Like, is it a beer? Is it a champers?
I can't have a drop of alcohol because I'll just, like, turn into a raging 15-year-old girl at a blue light disco. I can't handle alcohol. So all this, like, all these rumours about, like, comics that love getting on it at gigs, I can't. I drive everywhere in my Yaris. I'm there on time. Bloody soda water and lemon. In my suit, ready to do comedy. How uncool is that?
Can you describe to me what would happen on stage if you turned into the 15-year-old girl?
I thought that was your act anyway, Valver.
Yeah. Yeah, Tommy, that's me sober. Imagine me after a couple. When I've had one drink, I don't know about anyone else, I give other people's secrets out, but it's people that you don't know. So I'm not sure if that's very entertaining.
Right, yes.
Like,
yes.
I'd get on stage, Carrie, and I'd be like, hey, guys, remember Liana from Year 10, the girl that used to faint a lot? Well, one of her twins, blah, 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 blah. People are like,
see,
who's Liana?
Funny, Nate. I'm into Liana.
The girl who used to faint a lot is a funny description, isn't it?
Oh, poor Liana.
Make sure.
Have you ever fainted on stage, Nate?
No, I have not.
No. Have you? No.
No, I haven't. There's still time, though. So.
Well, see if it happens at Just for Laughs Australia, live TV taping in Melbourne at the Malthouse, Jan 18 to 20. Will they faint or not?
Will they eat a cheeseburger? Who knows? Thanks, Malbo.
Love you. Bye-bye. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. Around Australia for your Monday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
What do you want news on? The Queen, Ed, or Labor first? By Labor, I mean birth.
Oh, I'll take birth news.
So, you remember how you drove me to the hospital?
Yes.
When you thought I was in
heroically.
Labor.
Heroically.
Yeah, it was a prank and you were drunk. But anyway, you got me there in one piece.
Imagine
tipsy,
trying
sorry.
To explain
hungover.
That. Sober.
Anyway, the usual method of getting to a hospital is either car or ambulance, yeah?
Yes.
Not for a New Zealand MP. She cycled to hospital whilst in labour. 2 a.m. she woke up and went, oh, second baby. This baby feels like it might be coming. So instead of calling an ambulance, she jumped on her push bike
and she gave
birth an hour later in the hospital.
That is some real impressive stuff, isn't it?
She said she wasn't planning to cycle. I mean, I guess you'd be sitting on the seat so lest it wouldn't pop out accidentally.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
You basically got a plug. You got a portable plug with
she
wheels.
She did it with her first labour as well, only the first time she was having an induction. So she knew that it wasn't going to pop out on the cycle. But yes. It's a bumpy ride sometimes too.
That's a
you
fun
know?
Version of the pregnant edition of the Tour de France, isn't it? Just women getting as far as they can before they have their baby.
Does New Zealand have a Labour Party? Because if they don't, then she should definitely be the face of it.
That's funny. I wonder if she's from the Labour Party. I mean, I didn't read all the details because I didn't think anyone cared what party she was part of. You can do that in your own time, Jess.
Great, I will.
Ed Sheeran. Look, you could name his songs one after the other. We play them so often.
Yeah, yep. He's the best.
He made a surprise appearance on the Late Late Toy Show, which is a show. It's called the Late RTE's the Late Late Toy Show.
Is it meant to say talk show?
No, I think it's toy show.
It's a toy show?
Hosted by Ryan Tabridi.
Why is there a toy show on Late Late? Or do they mean like 2 p.m.?
I don't know. Again, you can look that up in your own time. It's in Ireland. The Late Late Toy Show is the biggest TV event of the year in Ireland, with Irish immigrants tuning in from over 100 different countries to watch it each November. Anyway, there was a choir singing one of his songs and he surprised them and joined in, and then they were all like laughing. Anyway, they went to have a chat at the end and Ed turned to one of the kids and said, oh, that kid told me backstage that he's not a fan of my song Bad Habits. He's heard it too many times. And the host was sort of going, ha, ha, ha. And then the kid chirped up and told him again that he'd heard it too many times.
Kaylee starring, and this young man here.
Not a fan of Bad Habits.
Well, look at he had lots of good things to say. He's a very honest young man.
Like I've heard it about 1.2 billion times.
That's true. There's a compliment in there.
No, of course.
Because his mother plays it so much, he's tired of it, but his mother keeps playing it.
Because his host is trying to... It's all okay, everybody. Don't offend Ed.
What a backpedal. No, it's a compliment in there. The song sucks. He means that in a nice way.
And this is one of my favourite stories of the day.
Yep.
Queen Elizabeth. It turns out she doesn't take many calls directly to her mobile phone.
She's got wouldn't know how to use it.
No, she's got this Samsung that's got all this anti-hacker encryption from MI6 on it. Nobody can hack into her phone, right? But there's only two people...
No one can hack into her phone.
Well, you wouldn't.
Why are you hacking into the Queen's phone?
Because there's lots of private information in there.
Okay. Yep.
What do you mean?
No. Yep.
Surely she's texting people about private stuff, although I can't imagine.
I can't imagine Lizzie doing anything on her phone.
Snapchatting.
Except taking a FaceTime and putting her ear to it.
Anyway, there's only two people that she'll pick up the phone for.
Who?
Who do you think?
Charles. Is that right?
Charles doesn't even get a look in.
Doesn't he?
Nah.
Harry?
Nah.
Is old mate still alive? Is her hubby still alive?
No, he's died dead. This year, mate.
Did he?
Yeah.
Mate, you know I don't care for the rules.
I know, but that was a big moment, you know.
Well, then if he calls, she's definitely picking up because he's dead. That's remarkable.
Her daughter, Princess Anne,
I don't even
should
know
take calls
who
from.
That is.
And this one, you'll be proud of her. You'll turn into a monarchist after hearing this.
Yeah.
Her racing manager, John Warren, who races all her horses. They're the only two people should take a call from.
Lizzie on the punt.
100 horses or more she owns.
That is amazing.
Isn't it?
I love the idea of her just trackside going, come on, you prick, get up.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at, and there is still plenty more to come, the Savo guys.
I'll tell you what happened on my way to work this morning.
What happened on your
nearly
way?
Nearly died.
Yeah,
I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
But now, normally you do this.
Yeah.
It's time for me to take the reins.
Carrie and Tommy's genius idiot.
Great.
So, hands up if you find keeping your doona in your duvet very annoying. Don't all put them up at once.
Keeping your doona in your duvet. Haven't you just used two words for the same thing?
Sorry. Keeping your doona, not moving around inside your doona cover. Annoying.
Oh, yeah. And it gets bunched up in bits.
Okay,
yeah,
great,
both hands for you, Bickers.
Great.
God, nearly broke my brain then for a second. hands up who finds it hard keeping their mattress in their
fluff.
Bed.
All night long because I go to the toilet and I come back and there's the doona's gone from my side and I've just got almost like having a sheet on top of me. So then I have to fluff and
fluffing is a word for farting, right?
Yes, but that I sometimes do that all night
Is that
night
what
long.
Causes it to bunch up in one end? The doona try to retreat away
it's
from.
It's because we roll about in bed, obviously.
Okay.
And then,
okay. And then the spark's still alive.
The doona shifts.
The subtle way to bring it up.
And sometimes I have to shake it to get the doona.
Do you stand on the bed? Because I stand on the bed and
I
hold
stand
it.
At the end. Oh, and
so,
I just
and
go,
I hold it and then just let it drop down.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Is that not how you get your doona in
no,
the doona cover as well?
I don't. I stand on the edge of the bed and then I take one corner and push it all into the first corner, take the other corner, push it all in, and then I hold those two corners and then I fluff.
You should try standing on the bed and just let gravity do its thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've had a thought.
Yeah.
I think there should be press studs on the inside of the doona cover that you attach the doona too.
Yep.
So at all times, it stays within its four corners.
I think it's a great idea.
Genius, genius.
I mean, there's press studs often on the very end to do up the doona, so why not add a couple around the edge?
Great. Would you even just consider making it Velcro?
No, I feel like
just trying to get involved.
Yeah. Anyway, just an offer for you, Adairs, if you're thinking about it. Bed, bath and table. I don't know.
Bed, bath, table, doona with press studs.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Monday arvo, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And guys, this is our last edition for the year of this.
Thank God.
Hey,
is it back next year? Yeah. Yes.
Hey, Jess.
Yeah.
Jess, what's the score?
It is. Actually, I still have the score for this.
Do we keep score?
So. Yeah. You just stopped keeping score because you were losing.
Yeah, it is 18-14 to you, Tomasio.
Thank you.
Wow.
Do you want to play for 5 points?
No, I just don't want to play.
Oh, damn it.
Well, actually, because this version is one of your ideas.
Oh, well, I'm into it then. What are we doing?
Same, same,
but boat. We should do same, same, but boat.
So this is going to be fun.
That was a day when you'd clearly had a big weekend and was
I think
a bit
I
broken
meant
by lack of
dog,
sleep.
Dog, dog, bark, 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 boat.
Well, it's too late for that now. So what we're going to do is, because we've got the resident boat expert, Carrie Bickmore, on the team, is I've got some photos of boats, and Carrie is going to make the sound that those boats make, and Tommy's going to guess what kind of boat it is.
But you have to do the boat into a song,
think
right?
This is same, same, but spoken.
No, we've
do
really...
Think it's dog, 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 bark, bark, boat.
The great games are about simplicity, and that's when you know they're really going to cut
but
through.
But same, same, but spoken is lyrics spoken.
Yeah, yeah. But
all I'm doing is describing boats.
Yeah, you're looking at a boat, making the boat noise, then I'm guessing from your noise what the boat is. It's an easy game.
All right. Ahoy there, matey.
What do you mean? Is that the noise the boat makes?
Ahoy there, matey.
Is it a pirate ship?
Oh, you got it.
Is it?
All right.
Oh, it's like a tinny or something.
What? I haven't done it
yet. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
What the people can't see is there's a fair bit of bobbing up and down action going on here. Is it a speedboat?
No. They're annoying.
Do I reckon it sounds more like this? Hey, yes. Hey, hey, how you doing? Hey. Am I a jet ski?
You are a jet ski.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Help! Help! Oh, oh no, I meant to be the boat. Huh? Oh, no, yeah. Not the person
still,
on the boat.
I think I still get it. Are you a lifeboat?
I am.
Yeah, great work, Gary. Great work.
Okay, okay.
Yes. Okay, you're a cruise ship.
Yes, I am.
There you go. What's the last one? are you gonna be able to get yourself together enough to do the last one? It's fun, whatever this boat is.
It's our boss and her friend canoeing.
That was
same, but boat. We should do same, same, but boat.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Now that the show's over, Carrie and Tommy can go and sort their Christmas shopping this Christmas. Why not give the gift of a great fragrance from Chemist Warehouse? Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.